across the way. And the rest of you, take your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 20. And John, I don't know if this mic is working, my remote. Exodus chapter 20, while you're getting there. And I know this is Mothering Sunday. That goes way. I learned a lot about, I never knew what Mothering Sunday was all about. It's different than Mother's Day. It's become Mother's Day in Ireland and England and some parts of Europe. But the first thing I'm going to just try to remind you is honoring our mothers is not supposed to be a one-day holiday. Celebrating motherhood is a good thing to do. Almost every country in the world does celebrate motherhood in some way, usually March or May, some in November. But our modern Mother Day came from a celebration, began in 1908 by a woman named Anna Reeves. She was the daughter of a woman who, in her church, tirelessly helped mothers with day-to-day issues with their children and raising their children. Back in the late 1800s, the Industrial Revolution had taken all the men and just was working them 12 hours a day. And motherhood was just overwhelming. Life was very hard. We always complained about our lives. We have no idea what our great-grandparents put up with. And she dreamed, this woman, Ann Reeves Jarvis, she lived in West Virginia, by the way, coal country. She dreamed of a day that would honor all the things that a woman would do and care for her children. Now, she never got to see that day. She died, and her daughter, Ann Jarvis, took up that cause. Ann was one of 13 children, and only four of them grew to be an adult. All of them died very young, except for the four. And so they all knew the hardship of what their mom went through, and she wanted her mother's work and ultimately all mothers to be recognized by the world as an honorable work, not just something that's done in the background. Her mother had said before she died, I hope and I pray that someone, sometime, will found a memorial Mother's Day commemorating a mother for the matchless service she renders to humanity in every field of life. She is entitled to it. And so Anna took that vision, created the day, it was in May at that time, May 10th, the second Sunday in May. But she started that, and she basically did it to honor her mother and then turned around to honor all mothers. This was a little leaflet that says, in honor of the best mother who ever lived, your mother. So you get people to honor their mom, and that's a good thing. But it shouldn't only be one day, would you agree? Okay, it's a good thing to remind people, but not only on one day. I hope you realize it's one of the Ten Commandments to honor our mother. So if you've got your Bible, go to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. We're going to look there, and then I need you with your right hand find the Gospel of Luke. So Exodus chapter 20 in your left hand and the Gospel of Luke in your right hand, chapter 18. Exodus 20 and Luke 18. There in Exodus chapter 20, God gives what we know as the Ten Commandments. And in verse 20, the fifth one just explodes. It says, chapter 20, verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother. Then he makes a promise with it. We'll talk about the promise in a minute, that thy days may be long. You'll live long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So it's one of the main commandments. And then Luke chapter 18, Jesus comes along, and he does not honor the Sabbath because things were changing. Jesus is our Sabbath. I hope you understand that. But he does not replace our responsibility in honoring our parents, especially our mother. Luke chapter 18, Jesus quotes the commandments. Luke chapter 18 and verse 20, thou knowest, he's speaking to another man. He says, thou knowest the commandments, and he starts to list them. He says, do not commit adultery. That's one of the commandments, right? Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. We say lie. Honor thy father and thy mother. That's a commandment, not a suggestion. It's part of God's law. You know, everyone who fears God, I can't expect the ungodly to honor their parents. I can't expect anybody who just grows up in this world to ever do anything right. But I know if we fear God, if we know God, and we know the Bible, we should honor our parents. It is something that is a commandment. We should make them feel appreciated. It ought to be part of our culture, especially a Christian culture. It is supposed to be how we live. It's not a rare event to say thank you to your mom. How we think about our mothers, and especially about motherhood, should not be what we see on television. We definitely don't do it like we should. If you would, go back. Well, look at Matthew 15. You're in Luke. Go back to the left, find Matthew chapter 15. Jesus quotes Matthew chapter 15 and verse 4 from the Old Testament law. And some people say, well, we have no relationship with the law. Well, you're dumb. That Old Testament law gives us right ways to relate to one another. You can't just throw them all out. Don't do that. Look at Matthew chapter 15 in verse 4. Jesus said, "For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death." In the Old Testament, if you hit your parents, if you cursed your parents, if you, as somebody in the house, you mistreated your parents, and if it was a ongoing, it wasn't just a one-off, it's an ongoing thing, it was the responsibility of the parents to bring before the judges to look at the situation, to know that this guy is a drunkard. Jesus actually describes it all. And he's a drunkard, he's rebellious, he doesn't listen. And they were supposed to bring him out and make an example of him. They were supposed to stone him. Because you don't mistreat your parents. That's how serious that commandment was. Now, when we talk about moms, God honors motherhood. Don't just talk about great women. You know what, everybody, on Mother's Day, I noticed I was reading several articles over the last week, and what they kept trying to do was move your reading about mothers to great women. And by the way, they had children. But the emphasis was on being a woman instead of the honor of being a mom. God seems to like moms and gives a lot of great examples, like Eve. There in your Bible in Genesis chapter 3, Adam looks at her and says, "You're the mother of all living. You're the start of it all," amen? And you know, they found out about 30 years ago, they were doing a study what's called mitochondrial ancestry, not ancestry.com, but they were looking at how the mitochondria changes over time, and they trace it all the way back to one woman. And they call her mitochondrial Eve. Now, they got all kinds of different time frames for that thing, but isn't it funny how they figured out we all came from one woman? So Eve's a mother of all of life. And she's amazing because she was the first. She faced everything without her mom. Can you imagine? I feel bad for a lot of women who've had to have children without their mother presence because you're away from home. We had to do that a couple of times where it just wasn't possible for my mom or my wife's mom to be able to be here. But if that is something you need. You need mom around. Well, Eve didn't have mom. She had to do everything straight off the cuff. She was amazing. You know, think about it also. She stayed married to that man, Adam, for 900 years, man. She's an amazing mom, would you agree? What about Mary? You know what she's called? Not the mother of God. She's called the mother of our Lord. And that's an amazing woman. You know what made her amazing? Not that she was sinless, not that she was perfect. You know what made her? She loved God, and she was willing to be used by God. All God needed was a vessel, and God chose her and used her to bring his son into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a man. It is a privilege. But she was a great mother. Jochebed. I bet you didn't even know that name. Moses had a mother. You know that. But this is a great mom who, when the declaration of Pharaoh was that all sons born to the Jews had to be drowned. And so she made a basket called an ark, put her baby inside there, and at the Nile River, looking at Pharaoh's daughter just down the river, she trusted God and said, here you go, God. And that baby bumped up against Pharaoh's daughter there. And Pharaoh's daughter opened that thing, and then the baby began to cry. And a mother's heart, she didn't have any children, but it activated. And she scooped up that baby knowing this is one of the Hebrew children. And she adopted him. But it was because mama wasn't going to kill her kid. And mama was going to trust God to do something. And, you know, when you trust God, you don't know the outcome. You just say, Lord, this is the only thing I can do. That's a great mom. That's a great Jochebed. You heard about Ruth. Ruth in the Bible, she was a Moabite. She was foreign from all the blessings and the promises of God. And yet she was married into a family, Naomi and her husband, and all the men died, okay? And Naomi, she decides to go home, and Ruth should have stayed in Moab. And Ruth says, I want to go with you. I want your God to be my God. And I don't care what happens. I just want to be with you. And she follows Naomi back to Bethlehem, no promise or anything. And God orchestrates and brings together her with one of the most godly men in all of Israel named Boaz. They get married, and she's the great grandmother of King David. Just God honors these moms, the faith that they have. You ever hear of Sarah? We've been going through Genesis there, and Sarah comes along, and she's a great mom. And really, she started off for the first 90 years of her life, she's barren. She has no children. But that one child she got, wow, and the gazillion grandchildren, great-grandchildren she got, changed the world. She's the mother of Israel. She's a mother of God's people. And Sarah, she had all kinds of flaws, but God says, I want you to learn from that great woman, that great mother, Sarah. Hannah, what a great mother she was. Amen. She had nothing. She lived in a home where she was always abused, always mocked, always criticized because she had no children. And she just came to God one day. She said, God, if you give me a son, I'll give him right back to you. And God says, done. And gave her one of the greatest prophets in all of Israel's history, Samuel. And she was a great mom. You know what she was great at? She was great at being able to let go. When she made a promise, she said, God, I'll give him back to you. When Samuel turned 7 years old, she brought him to the temple and said, hands off, he's yours, Lord. Sometimes God asks you to do things that are painful and hard, but you made a promise. He's yours, God. And that changed the nation of Israel, brought them back to God. These are great women, would you agree? But they're greater mothers. Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. I mean, she's an old woman having this baby who's going to be the greatest man who ever lived next to Jesus Christ. All because Elizabeth and Zacharias believed God enough. And how about the one who gave birth to you? That's a great mom, amen? Some of you need to think about that woman who birthed you into this world. My mom always told me, I brought you into this world, I can take you out. She threatened, but thankfully never finished up on that. But great mothers. None of them were perfect, but they were all great in God's eyes. This morning on Mother's Day, I want to honor moms and your work as mom. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, all the way to the right, just after Hebrews, comes James, and then 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. You know, God made being a mother wonderful by design. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter 3, 7 says, likewise, your husbands, dwell with your wife according to knowledge. You need to know some things when you get married. You get to know about her, giving honor unto the wife. So not just do children honor their parents, but the husband honor the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Not that she's weak. She may be, she may not be, but treat her like she's not only pure gold, but she's delicate. Treat her as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs. What's the next word? Okay, so the two of you are heirs together of something Peter calls the grace of life, not just the good times of life. Don't think that you got married for good times. You got married to produce life. You got a wife to have the gift of life. That is awesome, folks. Turn to that your prayers may not be hindered. Look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Moms were given the miracle of bringing life into this world. And doesn't this world need more life? There's a lot of death going on. There's a lot of darkness. Psalm 139, verse 13. This is David. He's just realizing, he's recognizing the miracle of birth, his own birth. He says, talking to God, thou hast possessed my reins. Now the reins are the things that control my life. You're in control of me from my mother's womb. Watch what he says. Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Back when I was just even not even born, I will praise thee. For I am fearfully, don't touch me. Don't look at me and say, oh, your nose is a little too big. Don't find fault with me. You got two bushy eyebrows. I mean, I hated my ears growing up. I looked in the mirror. Everybody else's ears were perfectly pulled back. Mine were like Dumbo. I hated that. Come to find out, I was fearfully and wonderfully made, dude. Amen. He says, marvelous are thy works. They're marvelous, the works in making us. And that my soul knoweth right well. My substance, we look at a baby being born. Oh, I hold that for a second. That baby being born, my substance, before I was ever out of the womb, I was not hidden from thee. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. You know what the lowest part of the earth is? That invisible place in the womb. That's the most covered place, and it ought to be the most protected, by the way. Can you say amen? Yeah. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, they were incomplete. And in thy book, all my members were written. You were taking account of all of the parts and the bits and pieces of my life, and you wrote them down, which in continuance was fashioned. I was constantly being fashioned and growing, when as yet there was none of them. Start off with two cells coming together, and those two cells became one cell with 46 chromosomes that began to split and to become the trillions of cells that you are now. And David writes, he says, you were fashioning me before there was anything to me. Amen. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, if I should think about all the things that you've thought about me, they are more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I am still with thee. I was with you. You were with me in the womb, and you're still with me now. Ladies, you were carefully designed by your children, by God, to have children. And I don't know if you saw this ad, but I'm just going to expose it. They were promoting mothers to come to the Dublin Zoo. Is that a mother? So the idea is the world has nothing sacred anymore. They don't honor mothers. Well, we're going to, because that's unnecessary, folks. That doesn't make you laugh. That doesn't make you want to go to the Dublin Zoo. Folks, ladies, you are carefully designed to have children. There's no such thing as a transgender mother. It's a mockery of what mother is. There are not pregnant people or childbearing people. There are mothers, folks. You're different by design. Your hormones are for having children. You're physically built to conceive and to carry and to birth children. Why is that dishonorable today? Ruth is not in here. I guess she's in the back there. We had Sharon and we had Joel, and I was at work, and one day I came in and I brought some candy bars called Baby Ruth bars, and they're chocolate bars. And I came in, I started handing them out to everybody. We didn't do cigars, okay? Handing all these Baby Ruth bars. And said, what's this all about? And I said, my wife had her third baby. Guess what her name is? they didn't get it. It was Ruth, but whatever. And I can't tell you how many women came up to me and says, you know, there is birth control. You know, there's a way to not have so many children. Why is that so dishonorable? Why is that? Did you know, ladies, only you can have children, and that's a good thing. Amen. May God protect us, because there's coming a day. Man, I tell you, there's nothing more marvelous than understand that child in the womb. How can you take it? But if women don't start fighting for their role, that's what you're going to have in the future. I mean, AI is not the only end of this world. Make it so moms aren't needed at all. Is that a good thing? By the way, can I say that having children was never a curse? Adam and Eve are supposed to be fruitful and multiply. It's not having children that's a curse. It's a great honor that's bestowed on mothers. I want to show you something. This is really humorous. Go to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. This is Isaac's soon-to-be wife. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 58. This is Rebecca, and this is her family talking to her. This is really good. Now, if you're getting married, or if you're ever thinking of getting married, I don't think you should say this to the soon-to-be bride, okay? But it sure puts it in perspective of throughout history how people thought about having children. Genesis chapter 24, verse 58. And they called Rebekah, and they said unto her, wilt thou go with this man and go marry Isaac? And she said, I will go. Asked her choice, asked her, what is your desire? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men, and they blessed Rebekah, and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions. Now, don't repeat that at a wedding, okay? But they were honoring motherhood. Can you agree with that? Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. What a great statement. So all that to say this doesn't mean it's ever been easy being a mom. It's actually very hard from the start. It is easy to get pregnant. That's why they have all of these things to try to stop pregnancy. And then if you get pregnant, then it's ended and all this stuff. It's not hard to have a baby. But it's hard after that. Now, Genesis, you're in Genesis, look at chapter 3 and verse 16. Go to back to the left, find Genesis chapter 3, 16. Genesis 3, 16. God says, unto the woman, to Eve, God said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. You're going to have children now. Now you're going to have sorrow with them. And thy conception, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. You know, that's going to make it hard. You know, going your own way, there's always a consequence there. And, you know, your children, we were talking about it in discipleship there. You know, some of the people are asked, why do we do this toward God? Why do we rebel against God? And I always tell them, I says, wait, can't wait till you have kids. And you'll be asking the same question. Why do you do this to me? It's wired into us. There is a sorrow with having and raising children. Remember the morning sickness? All the hormone swings? I know nothing of it. The expansion around the abdomen? Remember that? And then that delivery. Some women, they can get the child born in 2 hours. Others, 9. A few others, 36 hours, you know. And that was only just the beginning. But what about on the third world? I was reading about the mortality rate. Last year, 260,000 moms died in childbirth in the third world. 260,000 moms died giving birth unnecessarily. Kind of hard being a mom. We take a lot of things for granted here, don't we? So many moms raise their children in extreme poverty all their life, watching their children go hungry while being powerless to do anything about it. Mothers living in war zones, watch their children grow up surrounded by violence, displacement, and trauma. You think you got PTSD? You try and live in the third world, raising kids. What's the toughest thing about being a mom? Waking up. I did a little research, and one of the things that kept waking up in the morning, realizing I got stuff to do. I can't just stay in bed. You're usually up before everyone else. You're preparing the household for the day. Nobody notices. Packing school bags, checking homework, signing forms, finding the missing shoe. Dads can't find the shoes, can we? Amen. Getting everything and everyone out the door on time, keeping track of the appointments, the school events, the sport practices, and the birthdays. Grocery shopping, making dinners, laundry, constant laundry. Bathing the kids, reading the stories, making lunches, cleaning the house, keeping your kids from killing each other over the bathroom, constantly encouraging your children and believing in them. Helping with homework, as I said, across multiple subjects and years. You feel like Little House on the Prairie. That one-room schoolhouse, and you've got one in first year, another one third class, and one in transition year, and you're trying to do all of their math with them. Praying for each one of your children. It takes work, doesn't it? Praying with them, praying for them by name. No one prays for you like your mother. Amen. Staying in love with your husband. Ladies, meeting the needs of his needs despite your exhaustion, your distraction, and the thousand daily demands. We know you do, but we don't really think about. Remarkable thing is that was never on the job description when you got married, was it? The doctor didn't come out and say, before you have this baby, you better sign here that you agree to these terms. And yet you did it. Amen. And I applaud you. You who are moms, I honor you. I thank God for you. I thank God for my mom. She's still alive. I get to thank her every time I phone her. Just for being mom. Moms are probably one of the most underappreciated workers in the world. And God help us, delivers from politicians who want to take your money and pay moms to be moms. Real moms don't want to be paid. They would like to be honored. Amen. But tough is one thing, grief is another. There's a lot of sorrow and pain being a mom. It goes with the territory. Do you know what a mom does? You dream the best for your children, and yet you'll experience some of the worst. Some of the worst nightmares imaginable. Think of Eve. She woke up one day and Cain comes in. Where's Abel? Well, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Well, I got to go, Mom. Where are you going? I don't know. Where's Abel? I don't know, Mom. Love you. Bye. And then she discovers her second son, Abel, was killed by the only other guy in the world, by Cain. Can you imagine the grief of being a mom? Cain was her prized boy. She, when she had him, she said, surely this is God's gift. This is God's man. This is from the Lord. He's going to be awesome. And he becomes a murderer. Every mom, when she has that son or that daughter, she dreams of great things for him. And they don't come true. A widow. I'll talk about Solomon for a second. You know what Solomon did? Think of how wicked Solomon was. I need you to go to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. Solomon was a wise man, but he's one of the dumbest rocks you've ever met, too. Proverbs chapter 31. Solomon wrote in the book of Proverbs here that his mom warned him, taught him about the power of alcohol and of women that would ruin him. She told him about the responsibilities of being a king. And she even describes the kind of woman he should go after and marry. Mama taught him. Look at Proverbs chapter 31. The words of King Lemuel, that's his name by his mom. The prophecy that his mother taught him, What, my son? My mom used that term all the time. What? Always got your attention. What, my son? And what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Be careful about what you get into. Verse 4. It is not for kings. This is his mom talking. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, and for princes strong drink, lest they drink and they forget the law. We call it intoxication. And you pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. You might end up hurting people because you're not thinking things through. Verse 6, give strong drink, yes, unto him that is ready to perish, about to die, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts and are dealing with constant depression is what we learn from. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. But instead, you need to open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth. Judge righteously, plead the cause of the poor and needy. And then she describes the kind of woman that he should marry. And you know what's sad? He didn't listen to one word she said. He went after every girl that winked at him. He married 700, had 300 on the side extra. You say, how'd he get away with that? He was king. Who's going to stop him? He got there in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. He says, whatever I wanted to do, I did. I played with folly. I bought and I built whatever I wanted to. He didn't listen to his mother once. He said, I looked around and there's not 10, out of 10,000, there's not one woman that I found was a good woman. I wonder if he was looking in the right place. You ought to read your Bible, because there are women like the widow woman in 1 Kings 17. She's a woman that Elijah came and told her to go and get a thing of oil and start making cakes and bread and everything, and it would never run out. And it didn't. But after that, a few months later, her only son died in her arms. That wasn't what she planned on. That wasn't what she thought God had in store. And that wasn't the only one. There was another woman called the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings chapter 4. Elisha is called because this woman, she had asked for one thing, and she said, I just want to have a baby. And Elisha says, about this time next year, you're going to be holding your son. Well, 12 years later, her son dies in her arms. I'm telling you, you think God has blessed me, and he has, but he also can take it away. And every mom in this room, you haven't dreamed and you wanted something for your son or your daughter that was awesome and great. And then you watch it turn south. Bible's most balanced book there is. Deals with all sides. You know, Luke chapter 9. Find your place. Go to Luke chapter 9. What's the answer? What's the Christian answer to being a mom? There's only one answer to the Christian life, and that is self-sacrifice, self-loss. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. I'm going to ask you, what is your life goal, ladies and gentlemen? Especially ladies. Modern women have so many wrong goals. Their goal is their career. Their goal is their own personal wealth, their appearance, and even their happiness. They only want to be happy while their children, if they have any, are farmed off to other women. It's not a good thing. Sometimes it's necessary to work, but it should not be the norm. You know what moms are called to be? Oh my goodness. Losers. It's not a nice word. But let's look at our Bible. Let's look at Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Jesus said unto them all, if any man and woman will come after me, you want to follow me? Let him deny himself, ignore yourself, take up his cross daily, whatever God asks you to do, and just follow me. Stop there for a second. Jesus, after the resurrection, is going to see Peter. Peter has just caught the most fish he's ever caught in his life. He's looking at that fish, counting up the profits that he's going to get just from that one take. And Jesus said, do you love me more than these? And Peter's probably not even looking at him, says, yeah, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, I want you to feed my sheep. I got a job for you to do. Sure. Jesus asked him that three times. And then Jesus says, I got news for you, Peter. Things are going to be different now. What you had planned and what you know that you can do, you'll no longer do. People are going to take you by the hand and lead you places you don't want to go. And you will die a death you won't want to die. Just follow thou me. Remember those words? Just follow. Verse 24, for whosoever will save his life, you're going to protect your life, shall what? But whosoever will, here's our loser, whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. When God gave you a husband, he asked you to lose your life, ladies, into his, to become one with him as head, allowing him to lead and you follow. That's the Bible. When God gave you a child, he asked you once again to lose your life into theirs. And at great cost to yourself, make them great. Remember that? So guess what? If you're a mom, you're constantly losing for the sake of others. It's for Jesus. But others are getting the benefit of it. And that's a good thing. It's a Christ-like thing. Did not he lose? He stepped down from heaven. He became poor that we might be made rich, didn't he? Don't lose sight of this great calling to lose your life into your family. It makes you great. And I thank God when you do it. And you ought to thank your mom when she did it. Without even thinking, she had no idea of the cost it was to her health, of the cost it was to her sanity, of the cost it was to her in the home. You ought to be thankful. Feminism has creeped into Christianity, made women very upset about how they have supposedly missed so much of life. By the way, you ought to thank God you've missed so much of life, like hangovers, amen. Like venereal disease, amen. Like Tinder accounts, amen. Like fake friends, female pastors, constant depression, drug overdoses. I'd be glad if I were you of having missed all that the world is offering all these feminists today that are creeping into Christianity. But I'm going to tell you, whatever you think you've lost, and I lost friends when I got saved. I didn't think I would. I thought they'd all want to get saved. But they looked at me like I had three heads. I didn't have to get rid of my friends. They got rid of me. Amen. But whatever you think you've lost, God says, are you kidding? Do you know, ladies, when you hold your newborn baby, it is indescribable. I got to hold five of them. I got to be there for all five of them. One of them, I kind of broke the law driving very fast to get there in time for Joel. I got to hold them right after birth. It's indescribable. And as impossible as it may be, your children will bless you one day, even though right now they are. Your grandchildren will blow your mind with such wonders of accomplishments that you never dreamed. I watch my kids, the art that they do without even with their eyes closed. I mean, the joy of being a parent can't be compared. Don't sell it for wealth. Don't sell it for all the popularity. Don't sell what you can have. Some people say, well, I started too late. Well, look at Abraham and Sarah. Don't let feminism go to Mark chapter 10. Go back to the left, find Mark chapter 10. Your life will never be wasted as a mother. Mark chapter 10, verse 28. Peter comes up and he's kind of feeling poor. And he says, Lord, is it going to be worth it? Mark chapter 10 and verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto Jesus, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left, and he starts listing, house, or brethren, or sisters, or your father, or mother, or wife, when she wants to go another way, or children, or lands, for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive a hundredfold, not just in heaven. Heaven's going to be awesome, amen. But he says, now, I lost my place here. He shall receive a hundredfold. Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with, oh, you're going to get persecution following Jesus. And in the world to come, all you get is just better and better and better eternal life. Whatever it, you think you lose, you gain a hundredfold, both now and later. 1 Corinthians, go to the far to the right, go to the right. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm sorry, 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Ladies, I just want to honor you and remind you, it has not been in vain. All the time that you have invested, as failed as you may feel, as much as you may beat yourself up over all the things that you wish you had done differently, I'm going to tell you, God honors you. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. This ought to be your memory verse, ladies. Therefore, my beloved brethren, just be steadfast. Just keep going. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. You're doing it for him. For as much as you know that your labor, and it is labor, being a mom, is not in vain in the Lord. It's not going to ever be in vain because you're doing something that invests in the future. By the way, can I say you have a great purpose as a mom to be a mom. You may need to put on lots of different hats during the day, but be a mom. That's what God made you to be. That's a high calling, to be a wife to your husband. That is your purpose as a mom. Don't become a mom and then ignore the rest of your responsibilities. They both go hand in hand. And to train your daughters. I could spend the next hour. Let's go to Titus chapter 2, to the right. Titus chapter 2. Titus, just before Hebrews, Titus chapter 2. Do you know who's going to train your daughters how to be godly wives, godly women, godly mothers? You know who's going to do it? Not Hollywood. You need to. Look at Titus chapter 2. Paul says to Titus, he says, but speak thou, as a preacher, the things which become sound, right doctrine. That the aged men, this is what they should do, be sober, sober-minded, grave, serious, temperate, under control, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. That's a lot of work. Verse 3, the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh what? I don't see that very much. Not false accusers. Yeah, work on the critical spirit, work on constantly finding fault. Seeing things that aren't there, not given to much wine. You know what women do? Because of all the stress, and I know men do it as well, don't misunderstand, but you don't need to be turning to alcohol to cope, folks. You have the Holy Spirit if you're saved. Amen. Not given to much wine. That's where everybody turns when they're going through bad times. Teachers of good things, be a teacher, that they may teach the young women, your daughters and other young ladies, themselves to be sober, not emotionally driven. We need a generation who aren't emotionally driven, ladies. And you're going to, I can't teach. Women won't listen to me. You're all proof of it, amen. It says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. You say, I already love my children. Yeah, but you probably could improve. Some ladies are very, oh, they're super compassionate, very empathetic, and they need to be firmer. You need an older woman that'll help you know you need to firm up on that kid. You need to turn him over to his dad. Don't protect him. Help him. Respect. He goes on. He says, teach those young ladies to be discreet, to be careful about how they dress, how they talk, chaste, which means under control. The Bible calls it meek and quiet, where a young lady needs to be taught by their mom. Shut up. Do not argue. Say your piece, but trust God. chaste, keepers at home. Instead of keeping other people's homes and lives. Good, obedient to their own husbands. Many a woman will obey any other man except her own. Obedient to their own husbands. That the word of God be not blasphemed. That is a purpose. What we do is we expect our daughters to grow up and just be godly, and they're not. They need us and they need you, moms. Dad can't influence a daughter like mama can. You have a great purpose. Oh, but beware of your attitudes. I need you to go to Ezekiel 16. I bet you haven't been there in a while. Ezekiel chapter 16. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. If you find those books, find Ezekiel chapter 16. 16 verse 44. Ezekiel chapter 16, listen to God. As he says in Ezekiel chapter 16 verse 44, behold, everyone that uses proverbs, those were wise sayings, shall use this proverb from now on against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband and her children. And thou art the sister of thy sisters which loathe their husbands and their children. Your mother was a Hittite and your father an Amorite. God says, ladies, be careful that your daughters will pick up a bad attitude that you had to your husband and exchange it back for theirs. And loathing, isn't that a word? Isn't that an awful word? Beware of your own attitude. By the way, have your own consistent walk. You have a great purpose. You know what your greatest purpose is? To bring glory to Jesus Christ. Yes. To actually walk with him, love God. The morning should be a time where you come into the audience of your family and they know you've been with Jesus. Amen? Amen. Every day. You need to walk with God. You need to have, ladies, your own time with God. Don't expect things to work without God's help. You need to have your own walk with God. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I know it's quiet in here. It's going to get good. How should Christians honor their mothers? Ready? Go to Micah chapter 6. You're in Ezekiel. Turn to the right. Before you get to Matthew, you're going to find a little book called Micah. If you find Jonah, it's the next book after Jonah. Jonah, Micah, Nahum. Micah 6, 8. Do you know how I can honor my mom? Yeah, you can send flowers. You can get her chocolate. Send her a card. Do you know how to honor your mom? Micah chapter 6. You're very close. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee? This is what the Lord requires of you, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. You know, no woman wants to lose their kid to this world. So, you know, if you walk with God, you'll be a whole lot safer than you will walking with your friends. Amen. Your mom doesn't need to worry about whether you're going to come in on time. Your mom doesn't need to be worried about what you got on your phone. Your mom doesn't need to be worried about what your friends are getting you into. Amen. Walk with God yourself. That's your greatest ability to stay away from dying. Wages of sin is still death, isn't it, gentlemen? Ladies? If you would just know God and love God yourself, you may just win your mom. Because she'll see, that kid, I mean, he's not a goody two-shoes, but he sure does honor me by doing right. You'll be surprised at how much that'll bless and honor your mom. Secondly, live godly. Proverbs 10. Go back to the left, find Proverbs. Middle of your Bible, Psalms, Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. How can we honor our moms? Want to start living right. I mean, do right. Do the right things. You got a problem with somebody in your family? Make things right. Amen. Your mom will be blessed if you do the right thing. You humble yourself and you make things right. Secondly, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son A kid who thinks he doesn't have to have God, doesn't need God, can live without God. A foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. You know, if you just start living right, walking with God, loving God, it blesses your mom. Look at chapter 23, Proverbs chapter 23, and verse 24. Chapter 23 and verse 24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice if you don't act the fool. I think Ireland has been through enough time where the kids have acted the fool. It's time for kids to get saved, get serious. If you're saved, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to start living right for Christ's sake. But also, man, you want to bless your mom? Do the right things. Get saved. Get a job. Pay your bills. Get baptized. Join a church ministry. Join the church. Get married. Homeschool your children. Stay honest. Stay faithful to your husband or wife. Do right, and your mom will go, "That's my son." Amen. That will bless her. And you might just win her over to faith in Jesus Christ. If he can turn a wretch like you and me right, he can save her. Amen. How about praising your mom? Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. In verse 28. Her children arise up, and they call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. That means compliment her on the little things and the big things. It ought to be normal that your mom gets a lot of compliments for the things that she does. She may be 96 years old, but you ought to just sit down with her and say, "Thank you for all that you did for me. I'm in awe that you're my mom." Amen. Praise your mom. Find something that you can thank her for. Listen to her. I just wrote down things that just struck on my heart. Got tons of scripture. I can't go to all of them. But did you know your mom's got a lot of advice? I bet she could tell you a few things or two. Amen. Listen to her stories. You don't always have to agree with her advice. And you don't always have to like her stories. But you know what she'd love for you to listen? Make time for her. She gave a lot of time for you, didn't she? Hug her. Long and firm. You know, dads need a hug, but moms need it more. Moms just need somebody to come alongside and just hug and say, "I love you." That's we're so stoic almost. So some people have great interaction with their homes. Praise God. Not everybody does. I grew up, mom and dad never touched one another. My dad never said, "I love you," to my mom. Never showed affection. Neither did my grandparents. You know, it's pretty important to show affection to your mom of all people, amen? Hug her. Obey her. She's got rules, doesn't she? And your job is to obey them if you're in her house and honor them when you visit, amen? Thank her. You know, she's probably doing things without needing a thank you, but boy, it sure makes her load lighter when somebody says, "Wow, I don't know why you keep doing it, but you have always been there doing such and such. Thank you." Don't assume that she knows you appreciate her. Tell her. I thought of this. Remember with her. Remind her of the memories that she gave you. One of my most vivid memories that I've told my mom and I've shared with, laughed about, was when I was 7 years old and I was with my friends in the neighborhood. And we sat up on a little bench in our garage right next to the kitchen where my mom was. And we had a spelling bee. And we all spelled bad words. And my mom came out and grabbed me. My ears became another inch longer. Told all the kids go home, and I definitely remember my mouth being washed out with soap. "You're never saying those words again." Yeah. And I share that with my mom, and she laughs, and she says, "I don't remember that." I remember at 5, I was outside in the front garden. I was chasing our dog, And I fell and my hand went right down onto a wasp with a stinger, went right into, I still have vivid memories. And I screaming, and my mom comes running out like a champion Olympian. She grabs my hand and she smiles, and with her finger, she just grabs that bee and pulls her right out. Then I really screamed, all swelled up there. Mom took me in, held me, put on, I don't know what she put on. I thought it was gasoline. I don't know. She put it on. I still remember that, and I remind her of that, how fast she came out. I didn't know she could run that fast. Now, I remember the meals that my mom prepared me. Great meals, not so great meals. And we laugh and share and we talk about. She was there when my dad walked out on us. That was my mom. She stayed. She constantly told me I could do anything. She believed in me. She drove my brother, my sister, and I around America after my dad left for a whole month so that we could get our mind off of the things that had happened. And we just experienced America for a month. She helped me buy my first telescope so I could kind of be busy. Instead of falling into the wrong crowd and starting to the drinking crowd, I started to be awed. I was not saved. I wasn't a Christian. I didn't know who made it all, but I became awed. And my mom had a part in that. And I remind her of that. And I share those memories with her, that she was there. And I'm grateful. Remember with her. Help her in practical ways, man. Come alongside her and help her, whatever she's doing. Pick up the Hoover without her asking and start hoovering, and she'll have a fainting spell. Keep your room clean so she didn't have to do it. Make your own lunch. Be a blessing. Help her. Pray. This is important. Do you pray for your mom? Do you actually get on your knees and say, dear God, I not only pray for my children, I not only pray for my husband, I not only pray for other Christians, I pray for my mom. I pray that she knows you and loves you and walks with you. I pray that she's at rest in you. I pray that her heart is at peace with you and that she trusts in you and that she has your strength today. God, whatever she's going to face, may she face it with you. Help me to be an encouragement to her. Bless my mom. That'll bless her. Because that kind of attitude, next time you see your mom, she'll know what's in you, man. Your time with Jesus. And then when you see her going through that hard time and you just sneak up alongside mom and you grab her hand and say, Mom, I'm going to pray. You will bless your mom. You will bless your mom. Forgive her. There's so much bitterness in children. I can't. And there's every reason why. Did you know your mom didn't know what she was doing when she was raising you? She did not know. She probably made a load of errors in raising you. Nina and I made a zillion and one mistakes parenting, and you will too. So go before God and make sure there is no bitterness between you and your mom. You cannot, I don't care how she failed, I don't care what she's done, there cannot be bitterness there. And forgive her. And then treat her like she never did anything wrong. And do it all your life. Go back to, still in Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 22. This is something you should do all your life. You need to listen to your father that begat thee. Don't listen to all the podcasts. I had somebody ask me yesterday. And asked me, he said, what podcast do you listen to? And I kind of wanted to say, and I just mentioned one. I don't listen to 25 podcasts like everybody else. And really, I barely listen to that one. I'm trying to listen to him, all right? But you need to listen to your dad. But not there, not only. Watch this. Chapter 23:22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is. You need to keep doing all of these things, honoring her all your life. Never think you don't need your mom. I know you're like, I'm talking to the crowd, to the choir. Maybe. But I wonder if our moms think we do any of these things. She's God's great gift to us if she's still alive. All of you had a mother. Honor her. You're going to do more than just give her some flowers, some chocolates. We do more than just say, I love you, Mom. Those are good things. Will you not try to actually honor her every chance you've got for the rest of your life? I looked at Neva's mom. She's got a picture on her shelves. And I just thank God for her, because her mom gave me Neva. Brought her in the world, brought all of her family. The family's gone through hardships. But that woman, Neva's mom, sorrow, the hardship of being a mom, I know she knew it. And I thank God for her. You actually honor her. Did you know there is a great reward honoring your parents? Go to Ephesians, last verse. Ephesians chapter 6. We read it in Exodus, but Ephesians reminds us of it. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with, wow, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. That's cool. You know, there's a good reason. That's right, but there's a reward. You know, if I do this, I get to live longer. Amen. And my life will be well if I honor, especially my mom. What'd you learn today, moms? Did you learn that God thinks what you do day in and day out is worth us praising and applauding? It is, and we do. Did you learn that you should draw all your strength that you run out of from Him? I hope you learned that. I hope you decide today that you're wearing out because it's hard, and instead, you're going to spend more time with the Lord and find your strength in Him. And that all the hard work is worth it all. If you labor for Him, it's not in vain. I have to say this. I had one priest I was debating with and arguing with about how you get to heaven. And he talked about his mother and all that she went through. And he said, if anybody's getting into heaven, she is. And I thought, where'd that come from? And I found out later, it's in the ethos, it's in the culture that all the hardships that women go through as mothers, oh, that's certainly getting them closer and closer to God. It's not. You may be going through hell on earth, and it's not getting you any closer to God, folks. Not all moms, no matter how hard your life has been, no matter what you've given up, not all moms are going to meet Jesus on good terms. None of us are good enough. None of us can earn our way to heaven, no matter how hard you work. You must be born again, ladies and gentlemen. If you're a mom and you've invested all your life into your husband, into your children, into their futures, and you have nothing, wouldn't it be an awful thing to die and spend eternity in hell away from God, away from the one who loved you and gave himself for you because you were too proud to finally admit you needed him? You didn't need Mary. You didn't need the Pope or the Bishop or the pastor. You needed Jesus Christ. Just because you're a mom is not stepping you closer to heaven. You're doing a great work, but you need Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works. Can you imagine the boasting that would go on in heaven by all the mammies who got there, by what they had to put up with? Not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're not saved, today's the day to get saved. What that means is you bow your head and you talk to Jesus. You say, if you died for me, if you lost everything to gain me, here I am. I trust you and I believe on you and I accept you as my Savior. Please save me. Boom. That's where the deal is done. He did it. He's waiting for you to ask for it. Stand with me and let's bow in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're a mom in here, I want you to know we really appreciate you. I didn't talk about all the people who couldn't be moms. I didn't talk about all the different things, single moms. I just want to honor moms. Lord, I just come before you asking you to help us right now to realize we've been given a great gift. You gave us life. but you used our moms to bring us into this world, and we need to honor them. As Christians, as people who fear God, we want to honor them right. We've got quite a list to work on. I pray we start. But if there's any mom in this room that does not know you, oh, they're holding on to their church. They think they're not a bad person. They're probably not. But they're not good enough. Only one is good, and that's God. And the only way to be made good is not through good works, but through Jesus Christ, who can justify the wicked, who can forgive the sinner, who can reconcile man with God, woman with God. Somebody would just cry out to you and ask you to save them now. As we get ready to go home, may we make sure that our moms have someone who's not just given flowers, somebody who's given honor. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing that same hymn.